Good morning, everybody. How are you today? Are you doing good? I got to tell you, you're already way more awake than the last two services. So God's really touched your life or something because y'all came awake. I love it. So, okay, a couple things kind of as we get into the message today. I don't know if you're like me or not, but I kind of notice everything. So I like to point it out so it's not a distraction later. Have you noticed that our building is waving in the wind? Anyone getting nauseous watching the screen? Seasick a little bit, like, whoa, Jesus, hallelujah. So that's going to continue to happen throughout the day. So now that we've addressed it, we can say, hey, the building is creaking, the building is moving. We'll just use our imagination and believe it's the wind of the Spirit confirming things. So maybe I get to a good point and you hear a big whoosh, be like, yeah, amen, that's the Holy Ghost. So we'll just kind of put it in that context. So I just want to kind of help us with that. But let's go ahead and get ready as we get ready to receive the word. Do you have your Bibles and a notebook with you today? Awesome. All right, we're going to get into the scripture. I want to do a little different, though, if it's all right with you. Rather than doing the daily confession like we normally do, I just have this desire in my heart to kind of press into some things on another level. So if you would you stand one more time and grab your Bible? And I want us to actually open up ourselves to the Word. The same confession, rather than just saying it out of routine, can we just pray that into our lives right now? It says, hold up your Bible, put your arms open like this, and I'm just going to pray for you. And if you want to agree with it, you can just give it a good agreement. But Lord, right now, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we hold up our Bibles, and we open our hands to say, God, we're open. We're open to your Word, and we're open to you changing us through the Word. And we believe that whatever you tell us in this book today, we're capable of doing. We believe that your promise supersedes any situation or circumstance. We believe that the Spirit of God is coming to communicate to us, and so we set aside all distraction. We set aside even all emotion that would be contrary to being here right now. And God, we make ourselves listen. We make ourselves open by a choice of our will. And we give you all the glory and we invite you in. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. If you agree with that, say a big amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, go ahead and have a seat. And get your Bibles ready in the book of John, chapter 16. Yeah, we're excited, all three of us. We're excited about John, chapter 16, I can tell. We just had a marvelous conference. And I kind of want to talk to you about what's next. So if in your notes, maybe you can just title it kind of what's next, right? Some of you were not able to make it to the conference, and that's totally okay. I believe this will be relevant to you as well. But I want to help us as we're coming out of a conference to know and understand some things so that we can lean into where we're going together, corporately. I believe that the end of the Holy Spirit conference wasn't the end of something, but the beginning of something. Can you say amen to that? I just believe these moments, these conferences, they come into our lives as mile markers. And when the conference ends, it's not like what God is doing ends. It's kind of the catalyst to really what he wants to do, which will go on into the rest of our lives, right? God isn't interested in just 3 days. You know, 3 days coming out of the grave, it wasn't an end in itself. It was the beginning, right? So those 3 days mean something, but they begin something even greater. And that's kind of where we're headed. And I believe there was a theme in the conference. Brother Robert mentioned it in the beginning. It was something I shared in the beginning of this month, and it was these two words. Just write them down again as a refresher: alignment and adjustment. Alignment and adjustment. I want to talk about that again in a different context, but I believe that's what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. Now, when something is out of alignment, like your car, it's not going, it's not working right. There's undue taxation on your wheels and other parts of the car. When your body's not in alignment, it's not functioning correctly. When something is out of order, it does not what? Work. It does not work. So God puts it back into order. And I am not a chiropractor. I admit that. So if I come to you and ask you, hey, do you want me to crack your back? Say no, I'm not qualified. But I do understand some things about chiropractic care, and that's this. When they're putting you back into alignment, they apply pressure in certain areas. That's what makes the adjustment happen. Pressure in specific areas that are out of alignment. And that's where we're headed today with the concept of alignment and adjustment. I believe that the Holy Spirit is doing a work in our lives, and you may even have this week experienced some pressure in certain areas of your life. And I want to give you some context, some understanding. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, this will be kind of a foundation, but we're going to go into John 16, so you're not in the wrong place. I'm just giving this one to you as a freebie. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all of your getting, get understanding. I really believe that's what today is about, that God is doing something in your life, and he wants me to help you realize it, to see what's going on around you. Even over the last 7 days, there might be some things that have been confusing to you, some things going on. You're like, what meaneth this? Or in other terms, what in the world's going on? And I believe today might help bring some light to that, to help bring alignment and adjustment, but understanding the moving of the Spirit in your life so that you know how to let it do its due diligence and course, you know, in your life. John chapter 16, we'll go here. John chapter 16, Jesus speaking of the Holy Spirit, verse 5. Jesus says, but now I am going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking where I'm going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is best for you that I go, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. Now, you can underline advocate in your Bible, and you can just write the word Holy Spirit. Maybe you're not aware that that's who Jesus is speaking of. He's referring to the coming of the Holy Spirit into our lives. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin, of God's righteousness, and the coming of judgment. Now jump down to verse 12. There's so much more I want to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Would you underline that, please, in your Bible? That's a major idea for today, the Spirit of truth. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said that the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. The Spirit of truth. Say, Spirit of truth. So one of the moves and the workings of the Holy Spirit when he comes into our lives is to be the Spirit of truth. Now, that sounds exciting and it sounds wonderful until he starts being truthful to us about some of the things in our lives. You know, it's great. Yeah, the Spirit of truth's going to come in, but then the Spirit of truth actually comes in and he begins to expose things in your life, in your attitudes, in your mindsets, in your current habits, in your current belief systems. And then we want to say, please stop being so truthful, Holy Spirit. And so what I want us to see is we invited the Holy Spirit to come into our lives in a greater way in this conference. Is that true? And sometimes when we think of the coming and the moving of the Spirit in our lives, we think of times of refreshing, we think of baptism of fire, we think of healings and deliverance and all these wonderful, powerful things, times of refreshing and all this stuff. But sometimes we forget that a moving of the Spirit might come in and begin to expose and stir up and bring to the surface a whole lot of things that have been covered and hidden in our lives. But that's also a moving of the Spirit. I also might say that's a move of revival and awakening in our lives. See, for some of you, you might have come to the Holy Spirit conference, and understandably so, because typically that's the way I go to conferences as well, saying, I've come to be refreshed. I've come to have a time in the Holy Ghost. I've come to lay my burdens down and to be blessed. And maybe that's the way the conference was for so many of you. Maybe it was a little oasis. Maybe it was a little getting away with Jesus. But for some of you, you came to the Holy Spirit conference, and where others were dancing and praising and having a joyful time, since the Holy Spirit conference, it has been things stirred up, it has been frustration and disruption, it has been opposition, and all kinds of challenge and mess. Is anyone witnessing with that? I want to help you realize that you have not missed the Holy Spirit conference. That for some, it was a time for them to be refreshed, that was important, that's what God needed them to have. But for others, God was dealing with and stirring up stuff, but it was all part of a move of God that he's continuing in our lives. And don't worry, the people that are having a joyful time now, they're going to have a mess later. So don't you be jealous. And if you're in a moment of work and turmoil and disruption right now, there are times of refreshing coming your way as well. But this week, God wanted me to help us gain understanding. Gain understanding that we've invited the Spirit of truth to come, and he is doing a good work in your life. But sometimes his good work doesn't feel good while he's doing it. Come on. But it's still a good work. There's things that getting close to the Spirit, and he's bringing you into all truth. All. He's exposing so many things. He's bringing up so many things that you thought you didn't deal with anymore, and all of a sudden you're like, what? That is still there? Those emotions, those reactions, those feelings are still there? And the Holy Spirit's just like, don't worry, I'm not bringing them up to condemn you. I'm bringing you up to bring you truth, because truth will what? Make you free. See, when we ignore those areas, or sometimes we just haven't been touched in those areas that were irritations at one point, we've kind of just let them slide, we've tucked them away. Maybe there's certain mindsets or habits or patterns that we've not been addressing, or maybe they just haven't been stirred up. The Holy Spirit of truth is moving in, and I just want to help you embrace that concept and have understanding, so that as these things are being stirred up, you realizing this is a work of the Spirit of God. Amen. It's going on in our lives. And so I have two thoughts in coming to the Spirit of truth. One is this, that the truth is more uncomfortable than we expected sometimes. Sometimes what we're realizing about ourselves, sometimes what we're realizing areas in our lives that need to grow, some things that we're now uncomfortable with, that we weren't uncomfortable with before, we don't realize that as the Spirit of truth comes in, that it's truth, that truth is not as easy. Sometimes a move of the Spirit doesn't always feel like glory to God, hallelujah. Sometimes a move of God's Spirit feels like, what's up? Like this feels difficult and challenging and kind of like just like a like buffeting a little bit. I guess that's another word to say that, but it's a move of the Spirit because he's provoking us. He's stirring the waters in your life. So the truth can be more uncomfortable than expected. But the second lesson to remember in the Spirit of truth coming is this: the truth is what the Father is saying to you for your betterment. The truth is what the Father is saying to you for your betterment. That's why Jesus said, hey, remember, the Spirit of truth is coming. He speaks of me, and I tell you what the Father told me. So all this stuff that's getting stirred up, that the Holy Spirit's bringing up during this time period, and he's helping make you aware of, whether it's in your habits or your choices or your life or just stuff that's going on around you, that this is God. Remember, the Holy Spirit is not a spirit from God. He is the Spirit of God. So remember, God your Father, how many of you believe God your Father loves you? Raise your hand if you believe God your Father absolutely loves you. How many of you think that he knows what's best for you? Anybody? How many of us genuinely believe that God wants you to prosper? So if the Spirit of truth is stirring the waters, is another word, sometimes we don't equate these words to the Holy Spirit, begins to aggravate and agitate some things. Because we think of the Spirit like a dove, right? He's supposed to come in and make me feel good and joyful and happy. But sometimes he comes in and he begins to stir up some stuff on the inside that doesn't feel good and joyful and happy. But these stirrings, these moments now of truth and the clashing of what am I going to do about this and these things that need to be dealt with, this is the Father's mind towards you. This is the Father's pathway of your blessing and of your increase. God is not bringing these things up to harm you, to humiliate you, but to prosper you and give you that hope and future. Amen. And we ask God to graduate us. We ask God to mature us. And so now the Spirit of truth is saying, okay, you're ready to see some things. You're ready to deal with some things. And so some of this stirring and some of this difficult time that you've had, both internally and externally, can be the Spirit of truth coming in and shining lights in places in your life. Are you understanding this? Is it making sense to you so far? See, when the Spirit of truth comes, he brings light, exposes and uncovers. But again, never, ever, ever to shame or humiliate or to condemn and say, look what's wrong with you. The Spirit of truth is saying, we need to look at this now. We need to look at these thoughts that you've had. We need to look at these things that you've let lay dormant. We need to deal with some of these generational and family things that you've just kind of let go on. It's time for you to go to another level. This is a revival. This is a move of the Spirit. It may not feel like the Holy Spirit conference you thought you were going to receive, but it's actually going to set you free and going to increase your life. Which God doesn't want you just to have a good time for 3 days. You see what I'm saying? God is wanting to break chains, and he's wanting to break habits, and habits determine your future, by the way. Right? Habits of bitterness, habits of insecurity, habits of not dealing with stuff and ignoring it, thinking it's going to go away, and it never does. Amen. Here's a great illustration. I hope this helps you, because sometimes we get a little self-condemned. I think it's self-condemnation, because we start to see areas like, man, I didn't realize I had that attitude, and I didn't realize I was still dealing with some of those things, and I didn't realize that I'm still there, and the devil tries to make us condemn ourselves. So I have an illustration. Can I give you an illustration? Great. I was going to do it anyway, but I figured I'd ask. Do you see these spotlights up here? Three of you see them. Okay, everyone, we need a healing service. There are spotlights right up here. Do you see these spotlights up here? They were all healed, just like coming out of Egypt. Hallelujah. They were all healed, none feeble among them. Sorry, this is my own humor. Thank you. It's not going to get any better than this. This is the way it is. So you see these spotlights? Just say yes. Okay. Now, if I'm about a mile away from these spotlights, and there are things on my life or on my person, let's say some ripped clothing or some dirty patches in my life or some things out of alignment, if I'm a mile away and let's say the rest of the world is dark, do you understand I cannot see those things in my life? Does that make sense to you? But now let's say I'm about 100 feet away from those lights and I begin to see some things. I begin to see some dirt on my shoe. I begin to see a rip in my shirt. I begin to address those things. And now I'm about 5 feet away from those lights, and I see more and more and more and more and more. You see, that's a good way for you to understand that as the Spirit of Truth is coming in, and you begin to identify, and he's beginning to reveal certain personality, character, habits, things like that. The devil wants to make you think, man, I'm not even a Christian. Look at all this stuff that's going on in my mind. Look at all this stuff I still have to deal with. But I'm here to encourage you that the fact that you see it now tells me that you're getting closer and closer to the light. Does that make sense to you? The devil wants to make you think, man, you must be the worst. You're a worse sinner than you ever were. Are you kidding me? When you first started this thing, you could care less about your attitude. Come on now. You care less about the unforgiveness in your heart. You care less about the laziness and the apathy and all those things. But now you care. And that's a great sign that the Spirit of Truth is working in your life and you're growing. So don't let it condemn you. Embrace it as this is a move of God. This is revival in my life. I'm getting closer to Jesus because I care more about these things. Amen. And the Spirit of Truth is coming into my life. I love that. So, why is it during the conference or after the conference, so many demons and so many deficiencies seem to pop their heads up, right? I have two thoughts. The first one is this. According to Mark chapter 4, write it in your notes. Mark chapter 4, look it up later. The enemy may be trying to steal the word that God is trying to sow into your heart. Why is this? Look, there's a big gust of the wind. Did you hear that? The Holy Spirit just confirmed that word. Listen, God is speaking to you. The sons and daughters of God are led by the Spirit of God. A Holy Spirit conference means there's going to be a voice in it because the Holy Spirit is the voice of God, which means something's going to be said, not just felt. Come on, are you with me, church? When we ask the Holy Spirit of God to come in, this is God's voice. This is the voice of God that walked in the garden. This is the voice of God that created what God wanted in his heart, and he spoke it into existence, and he manifested the Word of God. This is the Spirit of God. He's going to be speaking. And so what happens is sometimes the Spirit of God begins to sow a word, a vision, a dream in your heart, and the Bible says, according to Mark chapter 4, that the devil comes right away to try to snatch that word out of your heart. So why has this week possibly seen more challenge or more opposition or more difficulties? The devil so many times try to come in as fast as possible to distract you from thinking about what God was talking to you about. Try to get your mind, get your emotions so full that you can't embrace what God is saying because you in the natural always go back to your old triggers and you go back to your old fear and your old anxiety and your own habits. And so now you're full of what you were rather than be embracing what God is doing in your life. Are you understanding that? And so it's just an attack. Let's just call it out. Rather than just saying, man, this was a difficult week. I went to the Holy Spirit conference and all hell broke loose. We begin to spot the devil in his tracks and to say, that's a weapon being formed against me and it shall not prosper. And even if you've come to take my eyes off what God was saying, I will not let it steal the word that God spoke to my life. And so here's just one typical solution, just a very practical thing. Go back in your mind and write down what was God speaking to you before all those distractions started happening. I had people in this service, one of the services, God was ministering, speaking to them. They walked into the lobby and somebody ticked them off. Come on now, that sounds like the devil to me, right? And it sidetracks them from what God was saying and they get caught up in turmoil of what that person brought. Does that make sense? The devil does that because he doesn't want you to receive the word, because that word was going to change your life. That word was God's will for your next 20 years. That word was going to put his kingdom, his dark kingdom, on the run. And so you go back and you write down, what was God talking to me before I got so irritated? What was God talking to me before I went back to the office and found out all these troubles that I was greeted with so happily on Wednesday morning? What was the Lord talking to me? Write it down. That's the promise. That's your anchor. That's what you're looking for and agreeing for. Amen? So just make sense of it. So one, you got to realize that, yeah, some of this stirring, some of this, these challenges or attacks or oppositions, they could be the enemy. They could be. But you know what? God will still use that to help you become an overcomer, outgrow it. Doesn't matter if it was from the enemy. You still have the weaponry to defeat it once you expose it, once you identify it, and you're still going to go to another level and mature. So it doesn't matter if it was the enemy. And the second thing is this. There could be some disturbance. There could be some confrontation happening in your life because the Holy Spirit of God is stirring the water. And that's not one that you rebuke away. It's one that you pay attention to. That's powerful, people. That's powerful. The truth may be more confrontational than you thought. The Spirit of truth coming in begins to confront things. You know, all change is connected to confrontation. Confronting change in your thoughts is confronting old thoughts. Confronting change in your habits is confronting old habits. Confronting change in your beliefs and your attitudes and your... Do you see what I'm saying? It's all confrontation. And so the Spirit of truth coming in begins to stir those things up, begins to provoke. So you ask yourself, why am I feeling so restless or disturbed in my spirit since the conference? Again, the Spirit of truth might be coming in, beginning to reveal things, expose things, bring them up, but not to make your life miserable, okay? But you're now mature enough to deal with this. It's time for you to go to the next level. You invited it in. This is revival. I keep saying that again and again and again because the Holy Spirit Conference is not just about 3 days of good feelings, okay? But the Spirit of truth is coming in. You've invited him in. And so this disruption, these things begin to happen. These disturbances begin to happen. But sometimes people don't have that in their theology about the Holy Spirit. We, again, think when the Holy Spirit comes, everything feels like it's fixed. He's a healing. He's a prophetic word that made me feel good and exhorted me and comforted me. And he is all those things. But sometimes we misunderstand that the beginning of healing sometimes can be pulling out the poison. Sometimes the beginning of restoration or renovation is you tear things down before you build it back up. Amen. That's the Spirit of truth. Even Jesus was misunderstood. Go to your Bibles, if you would please, to the book of Matthew chapter 10. And again, these are just scriptures the Lord brought me to for all of us in the house, because I am in the same category. The Holy Spirit's been showing me a lot of stuff about me this week. And I was like, man, I thought this Holy Spirit conference was supposed to be just restful and refreshing. And he's like, nope, you're going to deal with this, and you're going to deal with this, and you're going to admit that you've done this, and you're going to... And thank you, Holy Spirit. I appreciate you and my wife telling me how I need to improve on those areas. But I'm helping you, right? This is revival. This is breakthrough. Doesn't mean you were all bad before. It just means it's time to deal with those things now. You've grown. It's time for your next level. But sometimes, even with Jesus, people think of Jesus as the Lamb of God. Jesus is this nice guy that like pets sheep and puts them on his shoulders and walks around with rainbows. Like, look, the Messiah, when he came, a lot of people didn't understand what he was doing because he, like the Spirit of truth, came to disrupt things. Even sometimes when people receive Jesus into their life, they get confused. They think, if I accept Jesus, it means everybody's going to be happy with me. Everybody's going to applaud my decision. Jesus is saying, hey, when I come into your life, there's going to be disruption, but I'm still coming into your life. There's going to be provoking and changing and irritations and things that need to be dealt with. As much as I'm a lamb, I'm a lion. Come on now. And so here in John chapter 10, you see, Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 is where I'll start. Jesus says this, don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. Like, wow, doesn't sound like the Jesus that, you know, But I've come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be right in your own household. If you love your father or mother more than you love me, you're not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. What's Jesus saying? He's saying, look, when I come into the situation, when I come into your life, things are going to get disrupted. There's going to be relationships, and there's going to be emotions that fly. There's going to be things that are challenged. Like, think about this: when a Muslim gives their life to Jesus, right? Like, it sets their whole family in a tailwind. It may affect their relationships in at home. It may affect their best friends and who they are. It even affects them financially, because in some of those cultures, they can't even buy or trade or sell as a Christian in a Muslim nation. But you sit there and you think, wow, I thought when the Spirit came in, I thought when Jesus came in, everything was supposed to feel good. Everything was supposed to just come into place. But there is this coming in of the Spirit of truth. There is the coming in of Jesus that actually begins to disrupt, but not to disrupt for your damage, but to disrupt for your freedom and future. And actually, even in the Muslim illustration, they're coming out and dealing with those demons and facing that disruption for the sake of all of those others that are still lost. Amen. Because their victory in this area, being able to break free, being able to establish a new belief system, is for all the benefit of those that they were in conflict with and all that stuff. So if they didn't face the conflict, if they didn't face the disturbance, the confrontation, if they just played it safe or stayed down, it would damage everybody. Did you grab that? Is that too deep? Is that okay? Okay, just say yes, and maybe if you didn't catch it later. But just say you did. Awesome. But you see, same thing with Jesus. Sometimes we misinterpret how Jesus was supposed to come and that we were just supposed to feel good when we accept Jesus. But sometimes when you accept Jesus, it can create some chaos and opposition and conflict. Matter of fact, the Bible even tells us, it says that to those that are perishing, you smell like death. But to those that are coming into salvation, you smell like life. And you walk into your office this week and you wonder why all of a sudden people just seem disturbed with you or frustrated with you, or why there's all this conflict when you walk into the office. Well, could be demonic, could be something where they smell the life on you and they're living in death, and what the Holy Spirit's working in you is confronting something in them. Come on. Maybe you're not doing anything wrong. Maybe you're just alive, but all of a sudden you're in all this conflict and disruption. Like a week ago, everybody was cool with you, and all of a sudden everyone's irritated with you. Maybe the Holy Spirit on you is confronting something in them. You think the Holy Spirit conference, I'm supposed to walk into the office and everybody give me a raise. But let's flip it. Maybe all of a sudden you walk into the office and you're short with everybody and you're agitated with everybody and you're responding in certain ways, and maybe the confrontation is the Holy Spirit showing you that I didn't realize that I was treating people that way. It wasn't that it wasn't happening, it's that you weren't paying attention, but now the Spirit of truth is coming in. And he's trying to show you that you're kind of an irritating person. You were blaming everybody else, and now all of a sudden you see the mirror, and the Spirit of truth is like, well, hello to you there. But again, if we think that the move of the Spirit in our life is just prosperity and blessing and joy, the move of the Spirit is going to break chains. The move of the Spirit is going to disrupt some things, going to interrupt some things. There's a work of the Spirit. It may not always feel good, but it is good. The coming of Jesus in Spirit of truth confronts these three areas, write them in your notes. Confronts what we think, confronts what we do, confronts what we desire. The moving and coming of the Spirit of truth confronts what we think, confronts what we do, confronts what we desire. And so all these things that are going on are exposing ways that you were thinking. Could be with your spouse, could be with your kids, could be at work. You know, you'll have to draw the connection here about some of the disruption and the dissatisfaction and kind of inner turmoil you might have been going through. Is it demonic or is it God? You know what's so cool is the Bible says that we have a gift of discerning of spirits. And so you will know whether it's of the Lord or whether this is the enemy, something to be rebuked or something to pay attention to. Confrontation, confront what you think, confronts what you've been doing, and confronts your desires. Romans chapter 12. Open your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 12. Just talking about change, because that's our ultimate desire. We want to grow. We want to change. The Bible tells us this, verse 1. So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. How many of you want genuine transformation? Raise your hand. So he's going to confront the way you've been thinking. He's going to disrupt the way you've been thinking. He's going to confront your assumptions about you, about others, about your habits, your actions, your potential even. And some of this unsettledness and disruption is just the Holy Spirit confronting what is, what you've been thinking, what you've been doing, what you've been desiring. It's a confrontation. And that's as much of a Holy Ghost revival as anything. And so a sentence I'd like you to write down in your notes, because I think it's powerful and I think it captures it really well. It's just, transformation requires confrontation. Transformation. If you want to be transformed, it's going to require confronting belief systems. It's going to require require confronting habits. It's going to require confronting emotions and attitudes and the norm of what is. Right? Even when you begin to question the status quo, its confrontation leads to that transformation. You won't change if you don't ask questions, if you don't begin to wonder and get unsettled about some stuff. And so some of this stuff that's going on the inside of you, I'm telling you, it's the Spirit of God stirring the water. It may not be the devil. It may be God stirring you and shifting you and disrupting you on purpose. And it's you're outworking it like attitudes and frustration. But all that is, if you identify it, is that the work of the Spirit's doing something in me. And so I'm going to start asking the Holy Spirit, what are you doing? Rather than condemning myself, but realizing this must mean I'm getting closer to God too, because now I care about this stuff. So I don't want you to limit this idea of confrontation to sin, okay? Sometimes we limit everything to sin, like God just dealing with sin in our lives all the time. So obviously, if you're living a life of adultery, you know, God's going to confront that. Obviously, the Word confronts that immediately. If you're living a life of being a thief, you're stealing from your employer, you're stealing from other people, you're living in lies. I mean, all kinds of, you know, perversion. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. But I want us to realize that those of us who've been walking around with Jesus for a while, we're probably not dealing with these major sin issues, okay? Hopefully now, after living for Jesus for a number of years, you're not a drug dealer anymore, all right? Or gang, whatever, gang killing, whatever. You're not doing any of that stuff. Hopefully you put that away. So when it comes time to confronting, if you always think it's a sin issue, then you're going to miss something here. Sometimes the Holy Spirit begins to disrupt and confront things that aren't sin. They're just not your best. They're just not your full potential, okay? So he begins to unseat you and unsettle you in things that aren't even sin. For instance, all of a sudden you start walking into your normal workplace and there's an irritation in here about this career or this assignment. There's a dissatisfaction. Now, going to work and providing for your family is not a sin. Can I get an amen? But all of a sudden, what was satisfying you before isn't satisfying you. And you wonder, what's wrong? Could it be the Holy Spirit saying it's time for a shift? You invited the Spirit of truth in, and I'm beginning to confront some things. You see, you've become comfortable in this office. You've become comfortable in this position. You're paying the bills. Your 401k is going to be met. You've got your whole life mapped out. And so now you've settled in, but I know what I've put on the inside of you, declares the Lord. I have the anointing of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You have answers and solutions for this world inside of you. You're bigger than just providing for your family. You can provide for 10 families if you do the vision that I told you to do 10 years ago. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So all of a sudden, it's not satisfying you anymore, and you're irritated at work, and you think, why am I irritated at work? Am I just a jerk? No, it could be the Holy Spirit disturbing your spirit, and all of a sudden, there's confrontation, and what was normal, what was fitting, doesn't fit anymore. It's because God is moving you to another level. Amen. Yes, all five of you are excited. That's awesome. Praise God. Yes. Man, confrontation, shifts, all these things. It's not always about sin. Sometimes it's about average. Sometimes it's about mediocre. Come on now. Sometimes like, certain people can get away with acting like that, living like that, but all of a sudden God says, your time and season for that, you've outgrown that, and I'm going to now make you irritated living like that because you're so much more than that. And so you're seeing it. You never saw it, but now you see it. And don't self-condemn saying, oh, I'm terrible. Say, praise God, it's a revival in my life. I'm seeing it now so I can get free. And the Spirit's saying, if I'm showing it to you, I'm going to help you live it out and break free. Amen. So the Holy Spirit will start to ask some probing questions to move you forward. Things like this. The Holy Spirit will start asking you questions, and that begins to create the unsettledness. Things like this. Are you where you're supposed to be? Some of the dissatisfaction and unsettledness you've been experiencing over the last few days, or maybe some of you, it's been the last few months, could be the Holy Spirit asking you these probing questions. Are you where you're supposed to be right now? Or have you settled? And it's kind of irritating to answer that question. Number two, is this fulfilling you? You know, I know that we kind of throw away the idea of like a midlife crisis, and I'm not trying to say that the Holy Spirit's telling you to go buy a sports car, get a bunch of gold chains, open your shirt collar up real wide, and grease your hair back. You know, that's not what I'm saying. But there is something about you've gained some skills, you've gained some wisdom, you have some resource, and the Holy Spirit begins to make you unsatisfied that this was the top of the ladder. You understand what I'm saying? But God is saying your ladder is actually longer than you think. We got to change the wall over here, and there's higher things for you to go. And so that dissatisfaction, some people say, oh, it's just a midlife crisis, but it could be the Holy Spirit saying, you're not dead yet. And I'm making you unsatisfied not to go spend your money on sports cars, but to spend your life in making this world greater in the things of God. Now, I'm not saying you can't buy a sports car. Praise God for the sports car. But that's not the only reason you're still alive. Give me an amen on that. And that's not going to fulfill you. Someone in the conference said that, talking about you're never going to be fulfilled until you do the things that the Bible says are fulfilling, like helping human beings know Jesus. The car won't fulfill you. Bringing someone to Jesus will fulfill you. And you can also enjoy the car too. But the car won't fulfill you. But living for God, those are the things that fulfill you. Is this fulfilling? Number three, what more do you desire than this? The Holy Spirit is provoking. The Holy Spirit is stirring. He's trying to draw something out of you. And this dissatisfaction, this unsettledness, this disruption in your life, this confronting of your norms is all a move of the Spirit. And then the last probing question might be this: what are you afraid of? And you're like, I'm not afraid of anything. And the Holy Spirit's like, whoa. Are you afraid that if you do what I'm calling you to do, that you won't be able to pay your bills? Are you afraid to make a shift right now? You try to calculate it in your brain that people at my age don't make shifts right now. Now, I'm not trying to tell everyone to go out and quit your job right now, okay? This is not the word of the Lord for everybody. But I'm trying to help you realize that the Holy Spirit can begin to shift and disrupt and confront. And he's asking you a series of questions. Why won't you step out and do what I've called you to do? What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of losing friends? Are you afraid of losing face? Are you afraid of losing finances? Well, those three things. I love it when they're all fall into an F. F, F, F. Friends, face, finances. Write that down. I'm going to preach that later. Somebody remind me of that. Thank you. Okay. But what are you afraid of that's holding you back? And the Holy Spirit's confronting those things. Do not be surprised if the move of the Spirit makes you uncomfortable and the result of the conference is one of disruption for a season. Disruption for a season. It's a good work, but it may not always feel good at the time. It's all revival. It's all a move of God. You know, I go back into the book of Acts. You can see it when revivals hit in the book of Acts and people are coming out of addiction and bondage and they're coming into salvation and they're getting filled with the baptism of the Spirit and they're getting all this stuff, all this awesome stuff's happening. But you know, at the same time, it created civil unrest. It created families against families. It created economic change where people had money. Now they don't have the money because they had to come out of business being Jews, and now they're Christians. And so now they had to share money together and feed one another. So it created a mass move of God, but it created a lot of disruption and confrontation. But God was building something new. God was building something great. And if we could just kind of understand this whole work of the Spirit, sometimes it's disruptive, sometimes it looks like difficult challenge, work, mess, but it's a move of the Spirit, and God's going to see you through to the other side. If we could just kind of change our perspective today about it. One final verse, Brock, you can come. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. And I have a photo of myself in Israel here with this verse. Psalms 43, verse 19. See, I'm doing a new thing, the Bible says. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Now, this verse is speaking of this stream. This is a stream in the desert area, the wilderness area of En-Gedi. En-Gedi is where David hid from King Saul in the caves. And so this little stream creates an oasis in the middle of the desert. And so God, in the prophet's words, is saying he's doing a new thing. He's creating streams in the desert. But I love the question, do you not perceive it? I'm telling you, God started a new thing in your life because you asked him to. Now, it may not look or feel like you thought a Holy Spirit conference was supposed to make you feel. Come on. It may have created some challenge. It may have brought up some issues. It may have exposed some stuff. But it's a new thing God's bringing you to. See, God can be doing something new in your life and you not perceive it because you were thinking it should come another way. So that's why the question's there. I'm doing a new thing. Don't you perceive it? That's what getting understanding is about. I'm going to perceive what God is doing in my life right now, even in the middle of some troubled waters. I'm going to perceive what God is doing. Now, the interesting thing about this little stream is that the water starts in Jerusalem and makes its way through the desert down into the Dead Sea. To get to this spot, it takes about 7 years, they say, through the rock and the stone and all that stuff for the water to get there. And it just struck me that the new thing that God has started in my life, it could take a few years to see it fully manifest, but it's still begun. The water still has burst forth. The first trickle is coming. The first bit of refreshing is coming. I may not see it this week. I may not see it this year, but God started a new thing in me. God has started a new thing in you. And he who's begun a good work will be faithful to complete it. But good work that he's doing doesn't always feel good, but it always works out good. Come on. Do you perceive it? See, if you can shift your thinking today from one of just being irritated and aggravated and all this trouble since the Holy Spirit conference, I'm never going to a conference again. What is that going to do? All it means is God says, it's time for you to graduate. It's time for you to grow up. It's time for some change, transformation. So not going to another conference means you're just going to be cursed to stay the same. And typically that just means going backwards. Come on. You can sit there rather than being upset about this happened and that happened. You could say, well, it's either the devil scared of what God's been talking to me about, or it's the Holy Spirit exposing stuff that I need to finally deal with. I'm growing up. I'm perceiving it. I'm perceiving the new thing. I receive it. Go ahead and stand up as we close in a word of prayer. Got my altar teams come down and get ready to pray for people. How many of you can relate to any of this message? You just raise your hand if you say, man, there's something in there for me. It's me. Let's all pray together because this is me too. Keep your hands up. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, we said in the beginning that we're open to your word. And Holy Spirit, we have all kinds of expectations when it comes to a conference. And I hope and pray that many, 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 many people got lots of joy and lots of filling and lots of refreshing. But Lord, I also know that as we're growing and being stretched, there can be challenging thoughts, challenging emotions, challenging, conflicting disturbances and stuff that buffets us that can come from you saying it's time to see it. Or it can come from the enemy. Lord, right now, if there's an attack over their life based on the enemy, we come against it in the name of Jesus, and we command those weapons to come to nothing and to be destroyed. No weapon formed against them will prosper in the name of Jesus Christ. They are more than conquerors. And at the name of Jesus, those demons need to bow their knee, and we command them to cease and desist in Jesus' name if there was a spiritual attack on their life since the conference. But Lord, if there's a moving of the Spirit on their life, things that we need to say yes to, have your way, Lord Jesus. We refuse to self-condemn anymore. We refuse to run away from those things. We say, all right, God, keep talking. All right, God, keep showing. Forgive me where I need to be forgiven. Help me to confront ideas and habits and thoughts that need to be confronted. Help me to go to another level. Renew my mind. Help me to transform. I'm open. We invite you, Holy Spirit, as we grow and we move into what's next. We give you thanks and praise for all these things. If you agree with that, say a big amen. Amen.